I am now reading chapter 6 of Ajahn Sujin's book on the perfections. Chapter 6, The Perfection of Energy. The commentary to the Basket of Conduct defines energy, virya, as follows. Quote, energy, virya, has the characteristic of striving. Its function is to fortify. Its manifestation is infatigability. An occasion for the arousing of energy, or a sense of spiritual urgency, is its proximate cause. Unquote. The cetasika virya, energy, accompanies almost all cittas, except 16 ahetuka cittas, cittas that are unaccompanied by beautiful roots or unwholesome roots. Thus, whenever attachment and delight with regard to an object arises, the cetasika of energy accompanies that citta and performs its function of effort or energy for attachment and delight in that object. Be it akusala citta or kusala citta which arises, virya citta, virya cetasika accompanies that citta. When akusala citta arises, virya cetasika is effort for akusala, whereas when kusala citta arises, virya cetasika performs its function of effort for kusala. The perfection of energy is effort or endeavor for kusala. There should be energy or effort for each kind of kusala when it developed. And when it developed, it can become the perfection of energy. When sati arises and is aware of the characteristics of realities that are appearing at this moment, there is not me or a self who makes an effort to be aware, but it is the function of right effort, samavayama. Right effort, virya cetasika, arises and endeavors to study with awareness, to notice and pay attention to the reality that is appearing. Right effort is effort or energy for panya, which understands that what appears through the eyes is only a kind of rupa which does not last, or that the reality which is seeing is only an element, a characteristic of nama-dhamma experiencing what appears through the eyes. This is the perfection of energy that endeavors to study the characteristics of realities appearing one at a time. It does not matter whether the perfection of energy arising with satipatthana occurs often or seldom. Virya is not weary of the task of studying and noticing the reality that appears. When virya arises, there is no discouragement. Virya performs its task all the time, even if the process of development of understanding is extremely slow and difficult. The perfection of energy is most important, and it should be developed together with the other perfections, so that the appropriate conditions are accumulated for reaching the further shore that is Nibbana. Even kusala, which is dana, generosity, cannot be performed without virya. People may have kusala citta with the intention to give things away, but it is difficult for them to act in accordance with their good intentions, because sometimes they are lazy. Where there is an object they could give away, they do not give it away. They have confidence in kusala and they have the intention to be generous, but when virya necessary for the accomplishment of generosity is deficient, they are not able to accomplish generous deeds. Therefore, the perfection of energy is essential, because it assists the other perfections, such as generosity or morality. The perfection of energy is an indispensable support for all kinds of kusala. Sometimes we may be lax and too lazy to perform kusala. We may think that its performing is troublesome, that we are too tired, or that it is time-consuming. At such moments, we are overcome by akusala, and hence kusala cannot arise. If we know that it is difficult for us to perform kusala because we are inert and lazy, we should, at that very moment, immediately apply ourselves with diligence to kusala. Life is so extremely short, as it lasts just for one moment of citta, and this moment may be kusala citta or akusala citta, depending on conditions. Therefore, we should not give in to laziness with regard to our task of performing kusala. If we are all the time inert and lazy, it is evident that the perfection of energy is lacking, and that, therefore, there are no conditions for the elimination of akusala. The only way to eliminate akusala is to be diligent and energetic in the performing of all kinds of kusala as far as we are able to. Some people regretted that they are wasting their time and did not perform kusala when there was an opportunity to do so, because at such moments they were inert and lazy. Then they should consider the perfection of energy and try to accumulate it so that there will be in the future conditions for eliminating all kinds of akusala. Virya Chetasika is classified among the Chetasitas, which are the particulars, the pakenaka. These Chetasikas arise with many chittas, but not with all. The six particulars are applied thinking, vitaka, sustained thinking, vichara, determination, adimokkha, energy, virya, enthusiasm or rapture, piti, and wish to do or zeal, chanda. Virya Chetasika arises time and again. It accompanies many chittas in daily life, except the 16 rootless Chetasikas, the Ahetuka chittas. And it is the only Chetasika among the particulars which can become a perfection. When Virya, which is energy for kusala, has been further developed, it becomes the perfection of energy, virya. In that case, virya is the attendant of panya and the condition for the realization of the Four Noble Truths. Is virya that arises now kusala or akusala? If it is akusala, it is not a perfection. Virya is among the particulars, and thus it can accompany kusala citta or akusala citta. But most of the time, it is likely to accompany the akusala citta, which is rooted in lobha attachment. Virya accompanies akusala citta countless times, but instead of applying energy for akusala, we should endeavor to accumulate the perfection of virya. We should see its benefit. We read in the Expositor, Book 1, Part 4, 121, about virya, quote, energy has exerting as characteristic, strengthening the conescent dhammas as function, and opposition to giving away, to discouragement, as manifestation. It has been said, he being agitated makes a rational effort, hence it has a sense of urgency, or the basic condition of making energy as proximate cause. Unquote. we can see that there is energy at the moment of diligence, and this is the opposite of being lazy. However, according to the Abhidhamma, which explains in detail the cetasikas accompanying citta, even when we are lazy, virya accompanies the akusala citta, and in that case, virya applies itself to laziness again and again. The Dhamma is very subtle, and it should be considered in all details. For example, the characteristic, function, manifestation, and proximate cause of realities should be studied and investigated. According to the expositor in the same section, the characteristic of virya is the state of a courageous, energetic person, or the action of a courageous person. When there is virya, one is not inert or lax. One person may be courageous, whereas someone else may be a coward. According to the Abhidhamma, also a coward must have virya, energy, for cowardice. However, in the case of a courageous person, the characteristic of virya appears clearly, since he must strive to accomplish something, in spite of obstacles or dangers. Such courage is the characteristic of virya cetasika. When virya goes together with the development of kusala, it can become a controlling faculty, the indriya of virya. When it arises together with the other indriyas, the indriyas of confidence, sada, sati, samadhi, concentration, and panya, with the development of satipatthana, it is right effort, samavayama. It is right effort for awareness and understanding of the characteristics of realities, just as they naturally appear at this moment. When panya has further developed, virya becomes a power, bala, which is unshakable, so that there is energy for awareness and understanding of the characteristics of nama and rupa in whatever situation. We can verify the characteristic of virya by the following explanation of the expositor about the controlling faculty, the indriya of virya. Quote, virya is the state of a courageous or energetic man, or it is the action of the energetic, or it is that which should be effected, carried out by method or by suitable means. From its overcoming idleness, it is a controlling faculty, indriya, in the sense of predominance, or it exercises government with the characteristic of grasp. Combined with faculty, there is the compound energy faculty. Its characteristic is strengthening and grasp or support. Unquote. When there is virya, someone has the courage to speak, to say what is right, or to act in a wholesome way, not being afraid of trouble, difficulties, or even of losing possessions and becoming poor. That is the characteristic of virya. Or someone has the courage to explain with regard to the Dhamma, the causes which bring their appropriate effects, without paying attention to the fact that he will not be liked by foolish people, or that others will have wrong understanding of his good intention. Someone who is courageous will do what is right with regard to worldly matters as well as Dhamma, because Dhamma is Dhamma, it cannot be changed, it is the truth. All people have virya, but If the Dhamma had not been taught, the characteristic and the different aspects of Virya could not be known. Virya has been explained as controlling faculty, Indriya, because it is predominant as a support for the co-nascent Dhammas. Whenever Kusala Citta arises, and when someone performs an action with patience and diligence, there is Virya Chetasika, which gives support at such a moment. One can perform one's task without becoming disheartened. As we read in the definition of the controlling faculty, the Indriya of Virya, its characteristic is strengthening and giving support. If one develops Panya, one is supported by Virya, so that one does not decline from the development of Panya and all Kusala Dhammas. The expositor uses the simile of an old house that is strengthened and supported by new pillars. Even so, when someone is supported by Virya, Kusala Dhammas will not decline in him. If someone at this moment is bored, lazy, drowsy, or disheartened, he should know that he is like an old building that is dilapidated, because he is not able to be firm in Kusala and to apply himself to it. Virya Chetasika has the characteristic of strengthening and supporting, just as a pillar supports an old house so that it is stable. Thus we see the characteristic of support of Virya. The expositor uses several similes so that we can understand better the characteristic of Virya Chetasika that arises at this moment. We read, for example, again in the expositor, quote, "As a small army going to battle might be repulsed, when they would tell the king, then they would tell the king, and the king would send a strong reinforcement. The king's army, being thus supported, would defeat the hostile army. Thus, energy does not allow associated states to recede, to retreat. It uplifts, supports them. Hence, it has been said that energy has the characteristic of supporting." Unquote. Virya is the attendant of Panya. The Venerable Sariputta explains about the development and accumulation of the perfections leading to the complete eradication of defilements at the attainment of arahatship. We read in the Kamasutta Nidesa, the sutta explanation about sense pleasures, Mahanidesa Kudaka Nikaya, quote, "There is a simile of two cities, the city of bandits and the city of peace. At that time the thought occurred to a general, so long as the city of bandits exists, the city of peace is not free from danger. I shall destroy the city of bandits. And he put on his armor, took his sword, and entered the city of bandits. He struck with his sword the post they had erected at the gate of the city. He destroyed the building and the windows of the gateway, removed the bolt, destroyed the wall, and filled up the moat. Thereupon he took down the flag they had raised as a symbol of dignity of their city, and he set fire to the city. Then he entered the city of peace, ascended the castle surrounded by his group of relatives, and he took delicious flavored food. This is the simile. Personality belief, Sakaya Ditti, can be compared to the city of bandits. Nibbana can be compared to the city of peace. The person who applies himself to mental development can be compared to the general. He thinks, personality belief is a tie, and so long as I am bound by that tie, I am not free from danger. Unquote. Here we see that the akusala dhamma that should be eradicated first is personality belief, which takes realities for self. It must be panya which sees the difference between the city of bandits and the city of peace. The city of peace is calm, whereas the city of bandits means disturbance, confusion and restlessness. So long as there is wrong view which takes realities for self, being or person, one cannot be free from restlessness, disturbance and worry. Thus, one should understand that all defilements and dukkha are bound up with one's own person, which actually are nama dhammas and rupa dhammas. One is completely free from defilements and from dukkha when there are no more nama dhammas and rupa dhammas. And this can be realized without, cannot be realized, and this cannot be realized without courage, without the perfection of virya. We read in the exposition of Jatukanin's questions in the Kudaka Nikaya that Jatukanin had heard that the Buddha was courageous and that he therefore was called a hero, a vira. The following passage gives the reasons why he was called a hero, and there is an association in meaning between the word vira, hira, hero, and virya, which is the state of a strong man. All that is said in the following passage refers to virya cetasika. We read, quote, "He had perseverance and was therefore called a hero. He was valiant and was therefore called a hero. He caused others to persevere and was therefore called a hero. He had great capacities and was therefore called a hero. He was brave and always progressing. He was not a coward, not frightened, not fearful. He did not flee. He had eliminated fear and cowardice. He was without any terror, and thus the Exalted One was courageous. The Exalted One was without the akusala dhammas of this world. He was beyond the suffering of hell. He was endowed with energy. The Buddha had virya, the four right efforts. He was courageous and steadfast of mind, and therefore he was called courageous, a hero." Unquote. Had the Buddha not been courageous, he could not have penetrated the Four Noble Truths and become the Sammasambuddha. The development of each kind of kusala and of panya by investigating and considering the Dhamma that appears now is based on virya, energy and perseverance. All of us, we all should have courage and perseverance, so that instead of energy for akusala, there can be kusala virya, energy for kusala. Otherwise, kusala cannot be developed. Effort or energy, as it was applied in the unwholesome way, life after life, is completely useless. If we are able to understand the characteristic of virya as it is applied in the wholesome way, and if we shall further develop this kind of energy, we shall understand the words of the above quoted commentary about virya. That is to say, someone with virya will be progressing. He is not a coward. He is not frightened. He has no fear and he does not flee. In daily life, everybody has come into contact with undesirable objects. For some people, these are extremely undesirable, whereas for others, these are only slightly so. This may, for instance, happen when one meets another person on account of whom one is disturbed or feels displeasure. If sati sampajanya, sati and panya, does not arise, one cannot know that there is akusala dhamma at such a moment, and hence there is no opportunity for the arising of kusala virya, but instead there is akusala virya. There are bound to be conditions for desire and attachment, so that akusala continues to arise. However, if someone has listened to the Dhamma, and if he develops panya through satipatthana, sati sampajanya can arise and be aware when he is irritated or displeased. We should consider more deeply the meaning of sati sampajanya. When akusala dhamma arises, sati sampajanya may be aware of it, and it may consider whether akusala dhamma should continue on. And this depends on the panya of the individual. At that moment, there may be panya which knows that it is not proper to be irritated in whatever respect, be it on account of the action or speech of someone else, or be it because we have noticed something wrong. When, for example, akusala citta with anger arises and sati sampajanya can be aware of it, we can see whether there is effort for giving up anger. And if one continues being angry, it means that akusala virya is still strong. But when kusala virya has been further developed, and when awareness can arise, there are conditions for the diminution of displeasure and for the arising of metta. Thus, instead of anger, which is impure dhamma, there can be immediately a change to kusala dhamma, dhamma which is pure. When dosa arises, we have displeasure. But sati sampajanya can arise and be aware of its characteristic. And then we can see the benefit of sati sampajanya. If someone has listened to the Dhamma, and if he is not inert but immediately gives up akusala, we can see that kusala virya performs its function at that moment. When a certain type of akusala citta arises, and after that there is sati sampajanya, it may realize the characteristic of kusala virya, which endeavors to refrain from anger. This kind of virya is different from thinking or refraining from anger. It arises at the moment of sati sampajanya, when there is energy or effort to realize the unwholesomeness of anger, and to realize that metta is the opposite of anger. That is effort for forgiving, effort for metta. At such a moment, we can remember that everybody, including ourselves, can make mistakes. Therefore, we should not have anger or displeasure on account of someone else, or of dhammas which just arise and then fall away. However, feeling and remembrance, sanya, are conditions for being slow and inert in letting go of one's thoughts about circumstances and events, and thus there are again conditions for the arising of kusala, of akusala. There are different aspects and degrees of virya which has been further developed. Virya, which is a predominant factor, adipati, a basis for success, idipada, a faculty, indriya, or a power, bala. When virya has not yet reached those degrees, one cannot very well understand the characteristic of virya that accompanies satipatthana and that has become strong. As we have seen, Virya has been classified among the faculties, Indriyas, leaders each in their own field. These are the faculty of confidence, Sada, the faculty of Sati, the faculty of Panya, the faculty of energy, Virya, and the faculty of concentration, Samadhi. This shows us that the faculty of Virya arises together with confidence, Sati, Panya, and Samadhi, and thus this must be Kusala Virya. Realities can be classified in different ways, for example, by way of the four bases of success, Idipada, leading to enlightenment, wish to do, Chanda, energy, Virya, Chitta, and investigation, Vimamsa. Thus we see that there are different aspects of Virya. The Chetasikas, which are faculties, are not identical with the Chetasikas, which are bases of success. Such classifications are indeed very detailed, but they show us that there can be Kusala Virya of different degrees. We read in the Kindred Sayings 5, Mahavagga, Book 4, Kindred Sayings on the Faculties, Chapter 1, Paragraph 8, Point of View, about the five controlling faculties, Indriyas. Quote, monks, there are five controlling faculties. What five? The controlling faculty of faith, of energy, of sati, of concentration, and of panya. Unquote. These are dhammas that are rulers or leaders, indriyas. But they arise at the moment of satipatthana, which considers with awareness the characteristics of realities. We read in the above-quoted sutta about the controlling faculty of faith, quote, but from what point of view, monks, should the controlling faculty of faith be regarded? From that of the four limbs of stream-winning, unquote. When Kusala Chitta arises, it must be accompanied by Sada Chetasika, confidence or faith. There are many degrees of Kusala Chitta. The faculty of Sada, faith or confidence, is a leader with regard to its specific function. This is clearer when we consider the four limbs or factors of stream winning. Unshakable confidence in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, and the virtues, Sila, which are agreeable to the Aryans. Someone may study the Dhamma and have confidence in listening to the Dhamma, but his confidence may not be firm, it may be unstable or uncertain. If he has no right understanding of realities, and if he does not know the right practice for the realization of the Four Noble Truths, he may easily become confused. Confidence which is unshakable and firm, without confusion, and the condition for not deviating from the right path, is the confidence of the Aryan, confidence which is a factor of stream winning. It is unshakable confidence in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, and the virtues of Aryans. We read further on in the above-quoted sutta, quote, and from what point of view, monks, should the controlling faculty of Virya energy be regarded? From that of the four supreme efforts, unquote. There are four supreme efforts, samapadana, to wit, the effort to avoid the akusala dhammas which have not yet arisen, the effort to overcome the akusala dhammas which have arisen, the effort to develop kusala dhammas which have not yet arisen, and the effort to maintain kusala dhammas which have arisen, not to let them decline, to further develop them, to cause them to increase and to reach completion. Virya, which is a faculty, indriya, has become a leader, and it must have been accumulated very gradually so that it could become a faculty. The controlling faculty of virya should be regarded from the point of view of the four supreme efforts. We can notice ourselves whether we have virya which only begins to develop and is still weak, or whether it is already right effort. The effort which avoids akusala not yet arisen, overcomes kusala already arisen, the effort to cause the arising of kusala which has not yet arisen. The kusala dhamma which has not yet arisen refers to samatha and vipassana, and to the path magga, the fruition, phala, and nibbana. Samatha and vipassana are developed together with satipatthana and reach completion through satipatthana. They should not be separated from each other. Effort is necessary to maintain the kusala dhammas which have arisen, not to let them decline, to further develop them, to cause them to increase and reach completion. We should reflect on the different kinds of efforts. If endeavor is only of a very slight degree, the conditions for the arising of the controlling faculty of sati are not sufficient. We read in the above quoted sutta about the controlling faculty of sati, quote, "And from what point of view, monks, should the controlling faculty of mindfulness be regarded? From that of the four applications of mindfulness," unquote. Kusala citta cannot arise without sati cetasika, be it at the moment one performs dana or abstains from akusala. However, the characteristic of the controlling faculty of sati, the characteristic of its leadership, can be seen in the four applications of mindfulness. We read further on about the faculties of concentration and of panya, quote, "And from what point of view should the controlling faculty of concentration be regarded? From that of the four stages of jhana. And from what point of view should the controlling faculty of insight be regarded? It should be regarded from the point of view of the Four Noble Truths," unquote. Panya, which is insight knowledge, and which knows the true nature of reality, as it is developed stage by stage, is the indriya faculty of panya. However, it has only reached completion when it has realized the Four Noble Truths. In the past, countless people listened to the Dhamma, developed panya with right effort, and realized the Four Noble Truths. They were wise people who knew how to remind themselves of the truths. We should consider whether we at the present time are like those wise people in the past. The Anumana Sutta, Discourse on Measuring in Accordance With, deals with the admonishing of monks and with self-examination. We read at the end of the commentary to this sutta, the Papancha Sudani, Quote, "The teachers of old said that the monk should scrutinize himself 3 times daily. Thus, in the morning, he should consider to what extent he still has defilements. If he sees that he still has defilements, he should strive to get rid of them. If he sees that he has no defilements, he knows that he has been leading the monk's life in the right way. During the daytime, and also in the evening, he should examine himself again. If he cannot do this 3 times a day, he should do it 2x a day. And if he cannot do that, he should examine himself only 1x a day. But it is improper not to examine oneself at all." Unquote. By this passage, we can be reminded to examine ourselves so that we know whether our actions were proper or improper. We can understand that we need virya effort so that we are able to investigate our akusala and kusala 3 times a day or else 2x a day, or if that is not possible, only 1x a day. Then we are reminded by the teachers of old to examine ourselves as to the defilements we still have, and to reflect on these. We read in the Anumana Sutta, the discourse on measuring in accordance with, that Mahamoggallana taught the Dhamma and explained to the monks which person is someone who is easy to speak to, susceptible to instruction. And he exhorted them to examine themselves as to this. And he said, quote, "Therein, your reverences, a monk should examine himself thus. Now, am I of evil desires, in the thrall of evil desires? If, your reverences, while the monk is reflecting, he knows thus, I am of evil desires, in the thrall of evil desires, then, your reverences, that monk should strive to get rid of those evil, unskilled states. But if, your reverences, that monk, while reflecting, knows thus, I am not of evil desires, not in the thrall of evil desires, then he should abide with rapture and delight, training himself diligently, day and night, in skilled states." Unquote. The words, "a monk should examine himself," make it clear to us that someone else cannot examine in detail our akusala to the same extent as we ourselves. We can examine ourselves whether we are today of evil desires, in the thrall of evil desires, and moreover, we should be sincere, truthful to ourselves. If we are of evil desires, we should strive to abandon these evil, unskilled dhammas. Some people do not like to consider their own akusala, but if someone sees the benefit of the development of endeavor for kusala, he should also notice his own akusala. If a person has virya, energy, and makes an effort to himself to examine himself, he should be sincere and should not spare himself. If someone examines himself in this way and strives to give up akusala, he is a person who is easy to speak to, susceptible to instruction. A person who is difficult to speak to is the opposite. He does not strive to give up akusala. And all this pertains to virya cetasika. We read in the Saddhammapajjotika, the commentary to the Tuvataka Sutta, in the Mahanidesa Kudaka Nikaya, an explanation of the faculty indriya of virya. Quote, "As to the word cetasiko, this is used in order to show that energy is always mental and that it is not bodily. There is only mental energy." unquote. Virya is nama-dhamma, cetasika, which conditions the arising of effort through the body or through citta. Even when we make an effort with the body to do something, we should know that we can make such an effort because of virya cetasika. The commentary refers to the suttas which deal with someone who makes an alley walk, who is walking up and down, so that he is not indolent or sleepy. From the outward appearance, this seems to be bodily energy, but in reality, it is because of mental energy, virya cetasika, that effort through the body can arise. The commentary speaks further on about effort which has developed to the degree of the enlightenment factor of virya, sambojanga, one of the factors pertaining to the realization of the Four Noble Truths. The commentary uses the Pali term virya-ramba. Aramba can mean beginning, attempt or effort. Virya-ramba is virya-cetasika. It is the putting forth of energy, such as effort to apply oneself to the Buddha's teachings. We read further on about the characteristic of energy which should be developed. Quote, effort is called aramba because it is striving. The term virya ramba renders the characteristic of that kind of striving. What kind of striving? It is striving by way of escaping from idleness. Onward effort is so called by virtue of reaching a higher and higher state. Exertion is so called by virtue of rising up and keeping going. Endeavor is so called by virtue of special exertion. Zeal, of being zealous. Vigor, of firmness. Fortitude, of bearing, supporting citta and cetasikas, or of bearing the continuity of kusala by unbroken procedure, unquote. These are the characteristics of virya. It is the escaping from idleness, progressing towards a higher state, continued exertion without stopping, zeal and fortitude by progressing on. We read furthermore in the commentary, quote, another method of exposition, this virya ramba is striving in expelling lust, onward effort in cutting the bonds, exertion in escaping from the floods, endeavor in reaching the further shore, zeal in being a forerunner, ardor in exceeding the limit, vigor in lifting the bolt of ignorance, and fortitude in producing steadfastness. Verily, let the skin, veins, and bones dry up. Thus, by virtue of unfaltering effort at such time, is the state of a man of unfaltering effort. Unquote. With regard to in escaping from the floods, Nina added a footnote saying, escaping from the floods, this is the group of defilements of the four floods, ogas, the floods of sensuous desire, of desire for rebirth, of wrong view, and of ignorance. And with regard to what is said concerning let the skin, veins, and bones dry up, Dina adds a footnote saying, the Buddha spoke these words when sitting under the Bodhi tree before attaining Buddhahood. He would not move even if his skin, veins, and bones would dry up. These are the two footnotes to what I just read. The commentary explains further that energy does not let go of the desire to do, chanda, which is necessary to accomplish something, that it does not give up the task, and does not give in to discouragement with regard to the performing of kusala. It uses a simile of an ox which carries a burden and does not let go of it. Quote, just as if they were to say, get a beast of burden, an ox, to draw a burden from a marshy place not beyond the bullock's strength. And the bullock, pressing the ground with its knees, were to carry the burden and would not allow it to drop on the ground. So energy lifts up, and virya seizes the burden in the matter of doing moral acts. Hence it is said to be support of burden. Unquote. As we read in the commentary, the teachers of old advised the monks to examine themselves 3 times daily. If one cannot do this, then one should do this twice or even only once a day, but it is wrong not to examine oneself at all. When we reflect on the Anumana Sutta and its commentary, we see that people had different degrees of panya. Someone who has many defilements is a person who is difficult to speak to. He does not see his own defilements. He only sees those of someone else. We should find out which defilements we have ourselves. If someone never reflected on this or spoke about this with someone else, he should first of all listen to the Dhamma and reflect on what he heard so that he sees the danger of akusala. And then right effort can arise and be a condition for him to examine himself and to consider his own akusala before going to sleep. This can be applied by a person who is difficult to speak to and who has many defilements. If someone has already some understanding of the practice of Satipatthana, he can be aware of the reality which appears. Whatever kind of akusala arises, sati can be aware immediately of that characteristic. And then there is another level of panya. It is panya which understands the way to know and to study the characteristics of realities. After we have studied the Anumana Sutta, how often in a day do we examine ourselves? For someone who habitually develops Satipatthana, Sati Sampajanya can immediately be aware when akusala arises, and he does not need to wait until it is time to examine himself. And this is the beginning of the development of Satipatthana. Even if one does not yet know reality as nama and rupa, which are non-self, it is already a degree of sati sampajanya when the characteristic of akusala dhamma is known as it naturally appears. As we read in the Anumana Sutta, quote, if you references, while the monk is reflecting, he knows thus, I am of evil desires in the thrall of evil desires, then your reverences, that monk should strive to get rid of those evil unskilled states. But if your reverence, that monks while reflecting knows thus, I am not of evil desire, not in the thrall of evil desires, then he should be abide with rapture and delight, training himself diligently day and night in skilled states. Unquote. We should study with awareness the characteristics of realities as they naturally appear. It depends on conditions what degree of sati sampajanya arises. It may be of the degree of merely reflecting on the akusala that one has committed during the day, or it may be of the degree of immediate awareness of whatever reality appears. Some people who develop satipatthana may desire a result of their practice. They are striving with all their energy because they believe that in this way the result of their practice will materialize quickly. However, since they are trying very hard, they become tired and they have to stop doing so. The result of development of satipatthana cannot be made to occur soon. The development of satipatthana is awareness of the characteristics of realities as they naturally appear in daily life, and only in this way can they be understood as anatta. If one is expecting a result of one's practice and tries to hasten its arising, it is not the development of satipatthana. A person of about 80 years old, who had listened to Dhamma lectures at different places, deeply considered the development of satipatthana. Although he was an elderly person, he was full of energy to listen to the Dhamma and to consider what he had heard. When he heard a radio program on the introduction to Vipassana, he wrote down the address of the Dhamma Study and Support Foundation and made an effort to go to the foundation in order to perform kusala by offering a donation. He left his house at 9 in the morning and arrived at the foundation at 2 in the afternoon. And here we see the virya of an elderly person who spent such a long time to reach our foundation, who had no time for lunch and who had to exert himself in many different ways. The perfection of virya should be developed in daily life. In the performing of kusala, virya is essential, because one should go against the current of akusala, against the stream of attachment to comfort and well-being, and in this way kusala can be accomplished. If one tries to develop satipatthana in daily life, and when panya, which knows the characteristics of reality, has been further developed, there will be the right conditions for the realization of the Four Noble Truths. When the right conditions are present, the result will naturally occur, and this is not difficult. However, the conditions leading to this result are difficult to develop. One should gradually consider and study with awareness the characteristics of nama and rupa as they appear through the sense doors and the mind door. This is a very gradual process, and there should be virya, energy, to be aware again and again, to be aware very often, since this is the only way for panya to be able to penetrate the arising and falling away of the characteristics of nama and rupa. At this very moment, realities are arising and falling away. But if there is no study with awareness, and if one does not begin to understand the characteristics of nama dhammas and rupa dhammas, it will not be possible to realize the arising and falling away of dhammas. The cause which can bring such a result has to be developed time and again, life after life. We read in the commentary to the Samvara Jataka, number 462, Kuda Kanikaya, quote, "At that time, when the Buddha was dwelling in the Jeta Grove, he told the following story about a monk who had ceased to strive. When he was a young man, he lived at Savatthi, and after he had heard the Buddha preach the Dhamma, he gained confidence and became a monk. Fulfilling the tasks imposed by his teachers and preceptors, he learned by heart both divisions of the Patimokkha. After 5 years, when he had learned the meditation subjects, he took leave of his teachers and preceptors, because he wanted to dwell in the forest. When he came to a frontier village, people took confidence in him because of his deportment, and built a hut of leaves for him, so that he could dwell in that village. When it was the rainy season, he developed with strenuous endeavor his meditation subject during 3 months. But when he did not reach attainment, he thought that he himself was the lowest among the four classes of people, namely those who could only understand the theory of the teachings, pada parama. That means, pada parama, as to the four classes of people, I'm now reading Nina's footnote, some could attain enlightenment quickly even at the beginning of a discourse, some could attain after a more detailed explanation, some could attain after having heard many explanations and after having considered the truth again and again, and some could only understand the theory, the words, and did not attain during that life. They are called paraparama, those for whom the word pada are the highest. The monk in the story thought that he was a pada parama. Now I continue the Jataka. Hence the monk returned to Jeta Grove in order to see the Buddha in person and to listen to his delightful Dhamma discourses. When the Buddha was informed about this, he said to the monk, "The highest fruit in this teaching, which is arahatship, cannot be realized by someone who is lazy. In the past you were full of energy and easy to teach. Although you were the youngest of all the 100 sons of the king of Varanasi, you obtained the white umbrella and became the king." The Buddha then related the story of the past when that monk was King Samvara. The Buddha spoke about his excellent qualities which caused his brothers and the citizens to pay him honor and to make him a king, although he was the youngest of the 100 sons of King of Varanasi. King Samvara spoke to Prince Uposatha, who was his eldest brother, and who was in his last life the Venerable Sariputta, the following words: "I never grudge, O Prince, great sages who are seeking what is supreme, and ready to pay them honor due with humble mind, I fall before their feet." Unquote. Even when the prince with humble mind paid honor, falling at other people's feet, he must have had virya, endeavor to eradicate defilements, such as conceit or attachment to the importance of self, the importance of being a prince, the son of the king of Varanasi. Here we see that nothing can be accomplished without virya. Cittas are varied. Some people are jealous of those who have knowledge, but they are not envious in other respects. It depends on someone's accumulations on account of which kind of object he has envy. If a person has knowledge and understanding, other people should have respect for his understanding, but some people are still inclined to be jealous. One needs to have virya. One needs to have endeavor to see the danger of jealousy and to get rid of it. King Samvara continued with the words, quote, "Wise sages who delight in the excellent teaching of those who seek what is excellent taught me continuously. I, who was intent on what is right and liked to listen, had no envy. I listened to the words of the wise sages who are seeking what is supreme. I did not despise any counsel and was delighted with the teaching. I did not reduce the allowances of the elephant troops and chariot men, royal guard and infantry, and I paid them the bonus and reward due to them. Great nobles and wise counselors are waiting on me and giving me assistance, so that the city of Varanasi abounds with rice, fish, and drinking water. Merchants who come from different states prosper, and I assist and protect them. Now you know the truth, O Posata." Unquote. Because of these words, all people could see that the king was endowed with excellent qualities, and therefore worthy of the king of Varanasi, worthy to be the king of Varanasi. The Buddha, after he had finished the discourse, spoke the following words. "Monk," I quote, "monk, long ago you followed the instruction, but why do you not now strive?" The Buddha declared the truth, and at the conclusion that monk was established in the fruition of stream winning. The Buddha identified the persons in that former life. That monk was Prince Samvara, who became the king at that time. Sariputta was Prince Upposatha. The elders and secondary elders were the other princes. The Buddhist followers were their followers. And I myself was the courtier who advised the king. The Buddha's followers in the past were the Buddhist community at the time of the Buddha Gautama. We can see that it is not difficult for a result to materialize, but that the development of the right conditions leading to such a result is difficult. If at this moment there is not yet the cause that can bring its appropriate result, the result cannot arise, no matter how much one tries to hasten its arising. We should continue to apply energy with the development of understanding, and we should be truthful with regard to it. We should try to find out whether we know the characteristics of realities that are appearing right now or not yet. This kind of understanding is not intellectual understanding, which stems from listening, but it is of the level of Satipatthana. Satipatthana is developed when Sampajanya, Panya, arises together with Sati and knows the characteristics of realities appearing at this moment as they are. Panya develops gradually, time and again, so that one day the Four Noble Truths can be penetrated. When the time for enlightenment has come, this result is in accordance with the cause, and it will arise without difficulty. However, we should continue to be patient and to have energy and endeavor to develop understanding. We read in Ardent Energy, Gradual Seeing, Book of the Threes, that the Buddha said, quote, "Monks, on three occasions ardent energy is to be exerted. What three? To prevent the arising of evil, unprofitable states not yet arisen. To cause the arising of good, profitable states not yet arisen. To endure the bodily feelings that have arisen, feelings which are painful, sharp, bitter, acute, distressing, and unwelcome, which drain the life away. These are the three occasions. Now, when a monk exerts himself on these three occasions, he is called strenuous, wise, and mindful, so that he makes an end of dukkha." Unquote. Even a very short text can remind us of the endeavor we should make on three occasions, so that patience and endurance can develop. This is the end of chapter 6 of Ajahn Suchin's book on the perfections.